16, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Greg Sussman, along with, well, the Roto Experts that you have come to know, you have come to love here every single morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Engel, what's going on?
It's good to see you. It's good to be here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, our new home. Thanks for those of us who found us. We didn't leave you. We just moved down the block, and here we are ready to analyze Monday Night Football. You know, this is your place to come for great programming. I'll be on today also, and every day, noon to 1 p.m. Eastern, today on Old School Fantasy with George Kurtz and Cha-Cha. Greg, when else can they hear you today?
They can hear me literally all day. Ronis and I pretty much just hang out all day together. Ronis and the Fantasy BFFs, we are together on Target with Jake Seeley, and I come back tonight for Out of Bounds, which is not even fantasy. It's just us hanging out in a bar and talking for an hour. I'm pumped about it. It's going to be it's a really fun new schedule. I'm pumped to be back. Work with both of you, Adam.
Yeah, you can hear me plenty of times today, as you mentioned, following this show, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern with Nando DeFino and Jake Seeley, Fantasy Best Friends Forever. I'll have the news desk at 11 a.m. Eastern for a half hour.
You just own this network now.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And then I'll be back at 1 p.m. Eastern to 2 p.m. Eastern with you and Jake on Target Fantasy. So, yeah, you can hopefully you like me, because if you don't, you know, it's not a good day for you.
Yeah, it's not a good day. This network's probably not great for you either, but that's okay.
It's great for everybody.
You can't like everyone.
It's free.
Well, if you don't like Adam Ronis, it's probably not so good.
Oh, come on. It's free. The only free 24/7 fantasy sports radio station that matters, you learn to grow and love Adam Ronis.
Yeah, I guess you have to.
You have to.
I have anyway.
Yeah,
hey,
thank you.
There you go. If you want to join the program, we'll take your calls all the time at 844-843-6879, 844-844-FNTSY. Gentlemen, let's get started. Monday Night Football last night. So I get back. As you guys know, I was in Montreal this weekend. I had a bachelor party. And then yesterday I was gone for the Jewish holidays, right? So I'm in.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That's right.
Yes,
Happy
yes,
New Year.
Yes.
You too, Ronis, man. Happy New Year. You got some crew here. Yeah, we are a room full of us.
Yes,
full of those New Year celebrators.
We don't quite have a minion though.
We're getting there.
No,
we're getting there, man. So you know, it's a new year, and I'm in synagogue, and I'm thinking, man, it's not right to pray for the Giants right now. And I'm not going to do it, but it crossed my mind. So last night, and we just spoke about this, Ronis. Like, you're just like, you know what? What's going to happen? You probably figure what's going to happen, and the game script went exactly how you expected a game script would go. The Giants' offense looked out of sync the entire night. They never got anything going. And I think the biggest takeaway for me, and we're going to talk about this throughout the show, guys, but yes, Minnesota's defense is incredible. It's with Denver, the best defense in football, arguably better. But again, Odell Beckham just doesn't do anything. I understand Xavier Rhodes is on him. I understand the Vikings put pressure on Eli Manning all night. And I understand the secondary is fantastic. However, Odell Beckham was the number two and number three overall pick. He is one of the best players in the world, in the NFL. He does not have a touchdown through four games. Guys, at what point, I'll start with you, Scotty, at what point can we officially say it's time to be nervous about Odell Beckham Jr.?
I don't know if I'm nervous yet. I mean, there was a career worst game, and, you know, all the talk this morning on the regular sport talks networks and in the newspapers about how he lost his cool last night. But that was a very tough matchup. There were miscommunications. One of them, I know McAdoo said it wasn't a miscommunication, but clearly him and Eli were not on the same page on that interception. He tried to one-handed catch last night. It didn't work. He had drop passes. I just strongly believe, now I'm not saying he's going to have a 300-yard game. What you saw from Julio Jones last week was that he got shut down and then he bounced back in a big way. I believe with the superstars, if they go quiet for a game or two or whatever, eventually they're going to round back into form because they're superstars. I believe there's enough people getting in Odell Beckham's head that he's going to turn around. It's all mental for him right now. It's not physical. I would still have confidence that he's going to turn it around, and later in the season, I think you're going to remember this is a slow start.
Adam?
Yeah, I think right now, if he had a touchdown or two, people wouldn't be as worried.
Sure.
You know, the first 3 weeks were solid games for PPR. Again, not what you wanted when you drafted him in the top three. You expect better production. We're used to seeing him get at least 100 yards or a touchdown, and we have no touchdowns this year, one 100-yard game. I do think the book is out on him. Teams know that they can get in his head and take him out of his game. We've seen it numerous times now, and we saw it yesterday as well. And, in fact, Eli Manning was pretty vocal about it after the game. He wasn't really defending Beckham. Victor Cruz didn't want to talk about it. So, I mean, the Giants are aware of this, and I do think he'll bounce back. Xavier Rhodes shut down Kelvin Benjamin last week. He had a tough matchup, and I think Eli Manning, even though he wasn't sacked, he was clearly affected by the pressure and was dumping the ball off really quick. Like, he just did not want to get hit in this game.
No, he did not. The Giants, obviously, their offensive line has been an issue for years now. I texted last night my friend that it's unbelievable that the tight end, since you and I have been born, Ronis, the Giants have not been able to stop a tight end. You saw that with Kyle Rudolph last night. He had 55 yards receiving and a touchdown, and it seemed like he worked the field all over. But going back to Odell Beckham just for a second, you're right. Eli Manning's like, listen, he brought this upon himself because he basically cries after every play. And the fact that he could have and possibly should have gotten thrown out last night because he gets a taunting penalty, Scotty, on one play. The next play, he goes right back and shoves Xavier Rhodes like an idiot. Like, this is a guy, and he says, everyone's against me. Well, you know what? You kind of bring it all upon yourself. And people said this in the offseason. The whispers were there with hanging out with Khloe Kardashian, living with Drake, being everywhere. And they get on the field and, you know, you cry a little bit when things don't go your way. I understand you said, Adam, that if you had a touchdown or two, things would be fine. I understand, Scotty, you're not worried about him per se. But I look at this. This is my second overall pick, which for many it is, right? Your second overall pick. You can tell that his head is gone. You can tell he has pissed off his teammates. And I have to admit, I'm somebody that might be putting him out there and saying, hey, you guys want him? I'm 1-3. Give me your best offer.
Well, it depends on who you talk to, because you're the kind of guy that, with all due respect, kind of reacts
quickly,
where I tend to be more patient.
Absolutely agree.
I think it does depend on your record, though, too. If you're 1-3 and you're 0-4, you got to see what you can get this guy, because there are other owners out there who think like me, like maybe I could buy low on Odell Beckham Jr. What's happened is, though, like Adam says, though, there's a book on him now that, you know, that Josh Norman did. If you can get in his head and you can push him around mentally, you know, he's got to get control of this. He's only 23 years old. But eventually talent wins out. You know, we've seen other guys that are mercurial, you know, that, you know, receivers are often like this, you know, where their emotions run very high and very low. And it also pushes them with passion. So I think, you know, the Giants are going to rally around this internally. And I think Beckham's going to get straightened out. I think it was a very tough matchup, and I think he's going to be fine.
Well, the Giants head to Green Bay this week. Doesn't really get much easier for them. They started out 2-0. And now things aren't necessarily going their direction. And I put a lot of the blame for me on Ben McAdoo. I think he's doing an awful job, personally, as a Giants fan. Their clock management in the first half was atrocious, not calling a timeout with 11 seconds left. And you get one play, and then Josh Brown kicks a field goal. I think his inability to get the ball to Beckham, despite the defense, is unacceptable. And I think you're absolutely right, Adam. I know they want to do a quick hit offense, but Eli looks scared back there. It was not a good night for the Giants offense at all.
No, and again, I saw this on Twitter, some Giants fans complaining. You know what? Sometimes you have to look at the other team and give them credit, okay? This Vikings defense is legit. Stop complaining about your team and what they're doing. The other team sometimes is better, and the Vikings defense is clearly a top-notch unit. We saw what they did to Cam Newton last week, 8 sacks and 3 picks.
Kelvin Benjamin,
nothing. So this is a good Vikings defense, and I think sometimes that happens. You would have liked to see better adjustments, and the Giants could have done a better job getting that ball in the hands of Beckham, putting him in motion, designing schemes, you know, to get him in a better spot. But I would chalk this up as, I would not be panicking if I owned Giants fantasy players. You know, this week we had a situation where it was Eli Manning with our buddy Arthur here at Rockin' Riley's.
Sure.
You know, I helped him with his team. And, you know, he was like, should I drop someone and get Cousins and put Cousins? I said, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that's what he did, and it worked out. I mean, this was not a good week for Eli Manning.
I did it everywhere. I had Eli. I started Joe Flacco.
He was in my Sinem column on rotoexperts.com.
100%. Yeah. And you can check out rotoexperts.com. Use the code radio at checkout when you're there.
No, use
no
the
radio.
New code.
What's the new code?
Free radio.
Free radio. I like that.
Yes, use the code free radio. Get your exclusive edge in-season fantasy football package.
That.
Chat live tonight for your waiver run, 9 p.m. Eastern, with George Kurtz.
Yeah, how about that? Right there, inside Exclusive Edge, the code FREERADIO. That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Like that code?
I like it a lot.
Yeah,
Rhodes was talking about a second ago, you got to give the Vikings credit, and you do. The number one topic that we've been talking about the Vikings, is Kyle Rudolph. He had 55 yards last night. He had the touchdown last night. He is one of now these few tight ends that you can put in there, Ronis, week after week, and just leave him and be like, wow, I finally have a tight end that's going to not let me down.
Who would have thought this? This was the year no one
wanted. We all thought about it, just not this year.
Yeah, we all thought about the last 5 years. No one wanted Rudolph this year. Yeah. He was probably ranked outside the top 20, pretty much, I think, in everybody's rankings. He has double-digit points in PPR formats in every game this year. He has at least 7 targets in every game. He scored in 3 straight. We knew the matchup was good this week, and Sam Bradford clearly has an affection for him. He looks for him. Rudolph was covered a couple times and made tough catches. Yeah, I think you're in excellent shape right now if you have Kyle Rudolph. We know that the tight end position, there's a lot of inconsistency, but I think right now if you have Rudolph, you got to feel good. This is a guy who's never reached 500 yards receiving in his career. He's at 221 right now. I guess you just got to hope that he stays healthy, but this is a guy that has a 9 touchdown season in his career. It was early. You've got to feel good if you have Rudolph right now, because in this offense, they're going to be conservative. It's going to be Rudolph and Diggs.
Yeah, it's absolutely Rudolph and Diggs. You saw Charles Johnson did 2 long passes last night, so he had 70 yards, which actually led this team. But when you just look at the targets, Rudolph and Diggs both led this team with 7, and those are the guys you want to rely on. When you look at the running game, Scott, the Vikings' running game has been awful all year. It seems like the only recipe that they needed for success was facing the Giants, whose rush defense actually has been fine this year with Damon Harrison in the middle, Big Snacks, and Big Hank, and Big Hank as well. So I'm actually very impressed with what I saw from Jerick McKinnon last night, Scotty. He had 18 carries. He had 85 yards. He even had a touchdown, which came from right outside the 10, I believe. So Jerick McKinnon was fantastic last night, I thought.
Yeah, he was really good. This is Jerick McKinnon we've been hearing about
absolutely
for a few years. In 2014, when Adrian Peterson only played 1 game, McKinnon got an opportunity, but he really didn't run with it. I felt like last night we saw the McKinnon that people have talked about. He's confident, decisive, sharp cuts, very authoritative, get involved in the passing game, making people miss at the second level of defenders. On that final touchdown, he just blasted through a worn-out defense. So I think you got to be excited about McKinnon, too, scoring from 10 yards out. But still, you saw Matt Asiata with 6 carries for 6 yards, but one of them was a goal line rush. And that's going to be the problem with McKinnon, maybe why he's not an RB2, and maybe why he's more of a flex, because you can't count on touchdowns from 10 yards out consistently. So this could be a guy that could end up with maybe about 6 rushing touchdowns, which is not quite enough, but if he's catching the ball out of the backfield, and there was one play, actually, where they actually ran it out of the Wildcat, and he made just like a terrific cut. So I think if you have Jerick McKinnon right now, you're very optimistic.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's just because I don't have the snack counts in front of me, but naked eye last night, McKinnon was in there all the time. Asiata was barely in there. Yeah, he did have that one vulture at the goal line.
Yeah, and he had an important third down conversion later in the game.
Right.
Yeah.
But 6 carries for 6 yards and that touchdown. Adam, this seems like McKinnon's backfield to me.
I thought McKinnon looked really good. Let's not forget, he had a toe injury to begin the year, so yep. I don't think he was 100% healthy the first few weeks. The touchdown came, though, on a no huddle, so keep that in mind. It was inside the 10, and I was like, I needed Asiata. If I would have gotten another touchdown, I would have won a league,
right?
18-team league. That's why I started him. I'm not that crazy. Okay. I don't love Asiata because we know he's going to be basically short yards and goal lines. But they had a no-huddle offense on that big pass play, and they caught the Giants off guard, and
right.
That's why McKinnon scored.
Okay.
So Asiata, we know his role. It's going to be near the goal line in short yardage, but McKinnon is the better player. He's more explosive. I thought he looked really good. I have him in a league. I did not start him this week, but he will be in my lineup next week. I needed to see it first because their offensive line has been terrible. They came into last night's game as the worst team running the ball in the NFL, and that's part of the reason why Adrian Peterson was struggling. There was no room to run. They finally got a little bit better last night. So I think if you're a McKinnon owner, you're feeling good going forward.
Yeah, I am a McKinnon owner in some places, and it looked good. It was a performance I honestly didn't expect. Like, I know we've been saying, we've been wishing. I didn't see it coming, and I thought that was really, really cool. On the other side, by the way, we've talked a lot about Odell Beckham, but there's a lot to digest here with the Giants. There was no Rashad Jennings. Obviously, there's no Shane Vereen. Orleans Darkwood led the way. I thought he looked okay. 12 for 48 and a touchdown. I think Bobby Rainey was involved quite a bit. And then Paul Perkins, I know a lot of it was in the second half, but Paul Perkins
was on one play pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah. 67-yard catch and run.
He looks spry, though. Yeah. Maybe they'll get him involved a little bit.
Did.
You know,
yes, did.
We're always looking, Scott, for the next guy. And unfortunately, in today's day, where all of us are on the guy a week or two before, like Jordan Howard, for instance, maybe people should have picked up Paul Perkins.
I talked about Perkins in the preseason, but I think the problem with this Giants backfield is this is a true committee. I feel like Orleans Darkwa is the guy that's going to be there. He's going to be the lead runner right now if Jennings is not there, because he's looked more impressive than he did last year. They're getting Bobby Rainey very involved in the passing game. They'll pick their spots for Perkins. I think the Giants are doing what they did last year. We talked about last year where they were changing up unimpressive running backs. This year, the running backs are better, and they're still changing them up. So it's hard to get a bean. I think if you want one guy on this team right now,
yep,
if Jennings is out, I think it's Darkwa. But I think Rainey is going to take over that Vereen role and might even be more reliable than Vereen.
Seven catches for 43 yards last night. And as you said, Adam, I know you're giving me the face. You can't see us. You can soon. He gives you the face like, you know, Eli Manning under pressure all night, checking down all night.
Well, four of them came on the final drive. Like, the last, my friend is a Giants fan. He's like, what are they doing? Throw down the field because
right,
there's no time left. And Manning just kept dumping it off to Rainey.
Right, there's that.
Here's the issue with Perkins, pass protection. It's going to be a big problem. We
yep,
saw it yesterday's game. And, you know, I know everybody wants to see Perkins on the field because they see that play. Oh, get him out there. Why aren't the Giants using him? If you can't pass protect, and it's a problem with a lot of young running backs, it's hard to see a lot of time on the field. So that's going to be the big issue. If you're in a deeper league and you want to stash him, fine. But if Jennings is out, I do think we're seeing the Darkwa-Rainey combo. And, you know, Perkins could work his way into the mix as he gets more experience and becomes better at pass pro.
All right, gentlemen, final thoughts. Monday Night Football. Scotty, we'll start with you. Your final takeaways from last night.
Final takeaways that the Giants' offense looked very discombobulated against a good defense. But I feel like they're going to be fine. You know, they tried to get Shepard involved early. Cruz looked impressive. I think they're going to be okay.
Adam?
Yeah, I think Sam Bradford has done a really good job here. You know, he's received a lot of criticism throughout his career, and understandably so. He has not played well. Let's keep in mind, he has like a new offensive coordinator every year. For him to come here, Minnesota, week two, he has not thrown an interception yet. He hasn't turned the ball over. A lot of people were critical for them making that trade, and you see why they did it. They wanted a competent quarterback. Maybe that's strong words for Bradford, but they wanted an experienced quarterback that had some skills. I guess they obviously didn't feel confident enough in Sean Hill because they realized that this defense is legit.
The defense is not only legit. This Minnesota team, my takeaways are, this team is legit, and they are a Super Bowl contender. Absolutely. You look in both leagues, right, the NFC and the AFC, there's only a couple teams that are really outstanding. And how about both sides of that Bradford trade? Combined 7-0, both the Eagles and the Vikings.
And they play each other in Week 7, so that's going to be interesting. And, you know, if you look ahead to the Vikings' schedule, and I know it's the NFL, so much changes. This is not a difficult schedule at all. I mean, the only games that I see in here that are tough are the
Green Bay.
Cardinals,
Green Bay,
although I don't even know. If
sure.
No. Depending on what happens to that. And Green
they have
Bay.
Three receivers, too, that can kind of overmatch that secondary. Peterson can't cover everybody.
So that's a good point.
Yeah, so this schedule is really not that daunting at all. I mean, division and games, anything could happen.
Yep.
We saw where Bears, Lions, you know, teams know each other well. But looking at this schedule, it's really not that difficult. And I know things change. There are teams now
of
that
course.
We say, oh, they're bad, and then in a couple weeks
right.
they get hot, things turn around. But, yeah, the Vikings are definitely going to be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I think so, too. The defense is legit. Sam Bradford is, I think, more than confident. I think it was very fair to say. He's getting the job done. He doesn't make mistakes, right? Zero interceptions on the year. So he doesn't make mistakes right now. He's using the weapons that they have. And they're controlling the ball, controlling the clock. The Vikings look good. On the other side of things, you know, this NFC East, as you know, Cronus, it's going to be a dogfight.
Oh, the Cowboys are going to dominate.
It's going to be a dogfight to finish. Between all four teams, you're going to have annoying wins. You're going to have frustrating losses. That's the NFC East every year, seemingly, in a nutshell. Okay, when we come back, we'll take your calls at 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTSY. We'll talk about some injuries, notes that came out yesterday, including the latest on Carson Palmer, the latest on Kevin White, Trevor Siemian, Cam Newton, and more. And we look to week number 5. We do it all going from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. to the Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the abuse. You watched the Suicide Squad, Scotty?
No.
This is one of the songs from it.
No, but I like it. You know, it's a little pleasant and bouncy, the 21 Pilots.
Yeah. They will be on SNL this week.
Right.
Did you watch SNL this week by any chance?
No.
Did you see the debate sketch, Ronis?
No.
Oh, my
God. It was probably good, right? I got to find it.
Dude, just watch it after we're...
I was doing lineup ranks on Saturday night. No time for SNL.
Oh, I'm sorry, Scott. I forgot.
I don't feel like SNL is good as it used to be.
You know what? People say that for the last 50 years. That means nothing to me. You should watch... This debate was hilarious.
Really?
Yeah, for real. It was, if you watched any of the debate and you saw the SNL debate, quote-unquote, it was absolutely incredible. Let's get to you at 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTSY. We will start with Teacher Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Teacher Mike, what's up?
How you doing, boy?
How you doing, boy? You sidewind the polecat. Thanks for finding us here.
Yeah, no, it's nice. I get connected right away on, like, the Sirius app, or it just keeps buffering.
No, our app's pretty damn good.
It is. You press it, and you're in. So, obviously...
That's how Ronis likes it.
That's it. It's easy.
But, indeed. I'm playing Carson Wentz this week because Drew Brees is on bye, but I'm wondering, going forward, you know, who I should hold on to as a backup for Brees, if it should be Wentz or Eli. I try not to overreact like Scott, but it's kind of hard to after a game like last night with Eli.
Well, here's what you do, and it sounds cliche, but it's true. You can't worry about the rest of the season, Mike. You got to take it one week at a time. Let's see how Wentz plays this week, and you know, then you can decide from going forward. If he has another good performance, I think you got to lean that way. You know, mm-hmm. And look, Palmer's hurt. And you don't know how long he's going to be out. I don't usually endorse carrying three quarterbacks. This might have to be a situation. But what you can't do, and I say it to everybody, you can't worry about the rest of the season. A lot of times, especially when guys are ranked closely or Wentz is rising and Eli's at a certain level, it seems like he's going down a little bit. These guys are ranked close. There's not a clear rest of the season answer. So I think you got to take it one game at a time. It sounds cliche, and it sounds like a professional athlete, but it's true.
Yeah, it's probably especially true of the backup. Can I get one more in before you guys...
Hey, why not? This is special. This is day two of the Roto Experts. Why not?
Thanks a lot. So, non-PPR, got to choose between Pitta and Barnage. So, some real good choices.
Non-PPR, Ronis. Pitta or Barnage, who you got?
Yeah, Pitta's better in PPR, but Barnage, it's not like this Browns offense is lighting it up. And he's got the Patriots, so I'm going to go Pitta this week. Against the Redskins.
Thanks a lot, guys.
There it is.
Thanks a lot for calling, Mike.
844-843-6879. 844-84-FNTSY. D-Money, you are up next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
D-Money.
Good morning, guys. What's going on up in there?
What's going on, man?
All right. Hey, Sussman, man, you a hot cup of coffee with no cream and sugar in it, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, buddy.
You bring that energy to the room.
Let's go, bro.
Hey, I got a trade offer on the board here. I got Evans, but the guy want to give me Fuller for Evans. Should I go ahead and do that, or should I cancel that?
Wait, you have Mike Evans?
Yeah, I have Mike Evans.
No, you're not giving Mike Evans up, okay? Mike Evans is going to get 15 targets almost every game. Don't look at last week. He was going against Denver. The fact that he got double-digit points in a PPR is an accomplishment. Look at his targets the last 3 weeks, 18, 13, and 11. Evans is going to be one of the top fantasy receivers at the end of the year, and their schedule gets a little bit easier. This week against Carolina, that team is not daunting. Let's forget reputation now, okay? Throw reputation out the window. We've seen Carolina's defense here. It's not good, especially in the secondary. This is not the same team, the defense that went to the Super Bowl. They lost Josh Norman. It's taken a lot out of the secondary. Mike Evans is someone that you want. I'd be trading for Mike Evans right now, and you cannot trade to get Fuller. So keep Mike Evans.
You know, I did my advanced scout on rotoexperts.com last night, part of the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package on rotoexperts.com, in-season version. Enter free radio at checkout for a special discount. And I'm actually, in daily, I'm going to roll out the Carolina defense this week. When you get embarrassed like that, look, I don't think they're a top-level defense like they were last year. When you get embarrassed like that and you're playing on national TV against a divisional opponent, I think they're going to lock the doors to the locker room. They're going to get fired up. This team's going to rebound defensively in a big way next week against Tampa Bay and Jameis Winston, who's already thrown 8 interceptions.
See, I don't look at it from the Panthers' perspective. I look at it when I'm looking at a defense, I'm targeting the poor offense. So I agree with you picking on Winston because he's making a lot of mistakes right now against the better defenses. But Carolina has been bad now for the whole season.
The first 2 weeks, they've got 4 interceptions and 2 sacks in every game. I believe when you play that badly, and also the other factor is divisional opponent, they're familiar with each other. A lot of times, like we saw with the Bears and the Lions, these games can be lower scoring. I'm not saying I like the Panthers defense for the rest of the year. I'm saying this week, after that embarrassment, they're going to football's a game of emotion and intangibles. They're going to rebound in a big way. I'm actually using them this week.
Feel free to respond. We have all the time in the world.
No, I just said I think I look at it as when I'm looking at a defense, I'm picking on a poor offense. And
sure,
Winston is turnover prone. He and Dirk Cutter came out and said that he's concerned about
absolutely
him. The schedule gets better though for Winston. If I'm a Winston owner, I'm not worried. Look, I don't like to hold 2 quarterbacks. There are a couple leagues I am. I have one league where I have Winston Ryan.
Yep.
I obviously went with Ryan last week. This week's going to be tough because Ryan is going up against Denver. That's a real big test. I know people are sitting there like, well, how can I bench Ryan? Look how well he's played. But no one succeeds against Denver. No one does. What is the ceiling for Matt Ryan this week? 240 and 2 touchdowns?
You got to look at the floor. Yeah.
I just don't see a big game from him. I could see a Winston putting up decent numbers against Carolina if they can't get to him.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's their defense, Carolina's defense, is just not what it was last year. And I think that's clear. Let's head back to you at 844-843-6879-844-FNTSY. And we will talk to David in Florida. What's going on, David?
What's up, David?
David, Happy New Year, my friend. We lost David.
We did.
You know what?
We still got another David here. That's my middle name.
What's your middle name? Yeah. Star of David. I'm wearing a Star of David.
There you go.
How about that? Yeah. All right.
No truth to the rumor that I was named after David Wright because he was born after me.
Oh.
Yeah. So, a lot of people were assuming that.
So yeah. the rumors are incorrect.
Yeah.
Ronas, you were
let the barbs be accurate.
You were cursing yourself.
There we go.
Oh, what's going on with you?
No, I was just looking at a league, 18 teams, and looking at my lineup, and I wanted to cry for this week with the injuries and buys. I've lost Keenan Allen.
Right.
Amir Abdullah, Eric Decker. And Dwayne Washington in
can't
the first
recover person. From that in
no,
the 18-team league. Let's start with Dwayne Washington, gentlemen, going over the injuries here from this week. Dwayne Washington hurt his ankle. He couldn't put much weight on that left ankle. Now, it's only a sprained ankle, so they said.
Sprained ankle and foot.
I'm assuming Dr. Robert Anderson will be brought in soon. Because
Dr.
Robert. There it is. He sees every guy with a foot injury. Could be a dreaded high ankle sprain and a sprained foot. These are one of those things that, to me, not deadly, but it's not good either. Let's assume, if we can do that, this week Dwayne Washington probably doesn't play. Even if he does, you're not starting him because you're not comfortable with a guy with a sprained foot and a sprained ankle, whether it's low or it's high. Theo Riddick is still there. Is this the week that we should spend a dollar or two, Ronis, on Zach Zenner?
If you're desperate. I mean, again, this is the first week we have 4 teams on bye. I just don't like the Lions' running game to begin with anyway. They just don't seem to have success, and I don't like their play calling. They ran Theo Riddick between the tackles. It hasn't worked, man. This is not the Colts. Week one it did.
No,
it was the Colts 7-45. Since then, we haven't seen anything, and this is we've seen in his NFL career. So I don't know why they're trying to force that. So, yeah, if you're desperate this week, and again, there are teams that are going to be desperate at running back with some of the injuries, you can pick up Zenner and hope that, you know, assuming Washington's out, that he gets 10 to 12 carries.
Or hope that he just falls into the end zone, essentially, yeah. Matt Asiata style.
You can read about this on rotoexperts.com right now, my advanced scout, that, I'll lead one of the guys, Zach Zenner. You know, he's Mr. August. Let's see him be let's see him be Mr. October right now.
Reggie, huh?
Yeah. No, what is that? Pujols? Yeah.
I believe it's Reggie or
no, it's Pujols.
Why would it be Pujols?
What?
He doesn't have a nickname.
Yeah, he does. Mr. October.
Adam, do you know anybody that calls Albert Pujols Mr. October?
Yeah.
Who?
Me.
Oh.
Me too.
So these two idiots. All right, cool. Yeah.
Anyway, name calling won't get you anywhere, but back to Zach Zenner. you know, this is a guy that at the very least is going to be very strong near the goal line. And when the Lions are looking to finish off scoring drives, they're going to hand it to him. You know, they're not going to give it to Theo Riddick. So, look, there's teams on bye, there's injuries. I think you could roll them out.
Yeah, let's continue with the injury. Speaking of it, Thursday night, Arizona plays. Carson Palmer very well may not. He's got a concussion. I can't imagine he gets cleared in 2 days. Sorry for ringing the bell. It was a mistake.
Take that away from him.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that he plays, which to me downgrades everybody: John Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, who I don't even know if he's startable anymore right now, Michael Floyd, despite the touchdown. Ronis, no Carson Palmer. What do you do with these Arizona wide receivers on Thursday night?
I'm worried. Stanton is shaky. I know he's played before, but
there's this myth that Drew Stanton is like this awesome backup quarterback. I kind of think he sucks.
Yeah, he has not been good.
I don't think it's a myth that he's awesome. I think there are worse backups in the league.
There's not a lot of good backups in the NFL.
There's not a lot of good backups, exactly.
Right.
I think Stanton knows the offense. He'll know to get the ball to Larry Fitzgerald, so I'm not necessarily worried about Fitzgerald. He doesn't have the downfield gun that Carson Palmer does, so it worries me about John Brown. And Michael Floyd is a go-up-and-get-it, you know, contested catch kind of receiver. I think it concerns me about Fitzgerald. We're already not about Fitzgerald. We're already concerned about Floyd. I think this kind of hurts Brown more than anybody.
I did see Bruce Arians say that he was a little optimistic on Palmer, but it's such a short week, so I think we're doubting that he's going to play.
Yeah.
Floyd did score the touchdown, but he did drop another pass, and he was actually fourth in snaps among wide receivers. His snaps have been trending downward, so that's a concern. I wouldn't start him this week. Yeah, I'd be concerned about the Cardinals this week with no Palmer. They weren't even playing great with him. It's a divisional game, short week on the road, and the 49ers have played better defense at home. I know they weren't great this week against Dallas. They were competitive early on, but I don't feel good about the Cardinals this week, and this is going to be an interesting week on the waiver wire for quarterbacks. Remember, we have four teams on bye.
Yep.
Russell Wilson owners, if you don't have a backup, and I think most do because he's been banged up.
Sure.
Drew Brees owners might not have a backup, and Jacksonville, Blake Bortles.
Alex Smith, you don't.
Yeah, and Alex Smith's probably not being used. And then let's not forget the Cam Newton owners, with that game being Monday night, are probably going to go to the waiver wire this week. Now, they could pick up Derek Anderson and say, you know what, I'm going to play whichever Carolina quarterback plays on Monday night. They might have to do that. Again, we might not have news on Cam Newton until later in the week, and we might not have any. It could be a game-time decision. So this is a week that I think people are going to actually have some quarterback waiver wire pickups in play. It could be heavy.
Brian Hoyer.
Hoyer's going to be a good pickup this week. And Carson Wentz as well, as we talked about earlier.
And last week, too, we talked about that as
Wentz
well.
Wentz was on bye last week, so he might not have been picked up.
Yeah, these are one of those things, and maybe it's just me. So I'm a Drew Brees owner, and I picked up Joe Flacco last week when it didn't cost me anything, knowing that I had this bye coming up, and also realizing that there's four teams on bye. I'm almost trying to plan ahead a little bit when I can, if I have the roster spot to do so.
Yeah.
And Ronis, you just talked about injuries and byes. You didn't even talk about ineffectiveness. After last night's Eli Manning game, maybe people don't want to start Eli this week in Green Bay. Like, that might not be a spot to start him.
We just had a call from Teacher Mike.
Sure.
He says, look, Eli Manning or Carson Wentz. Look, Hoyer is a guy that, you know, played awful down the stretch in 2014. I think his last five starts, he had one touchdown and nine interceptions, something like that. I could be wrong on the amount of interceptions. It might have been seven. And in last year, the overall stats weren't terrible, but they booed him out of town, you know, to get Brock Osweiler. I don't think you can look at Hoyer long term. You know, there's talk about when Jay Cutler comes back, he's still the starter. That might be a mistake by the Bears. But I do like the matchup for him this week. You're talking about Russell Wilson and Drew Brees both being on byes. And I think you like the matchup for the Bears this week, you know, if you're worried about other quarterbacks. So, I was telling Teacher Mike, look, the Colts allow 277 passing yards per game. There may not be a rest of the season answer, but worry about it 1 week at a time, and you can throw Hoyer out there this week.
I think Eli's going to be fine this week. The Packers' weakness is attacking him through the air. I don't know the status of Sam Shields, their top corner, who's been out with a concussion. But the Packers have allowed the second most fantasy points to wide receiver. They've been excellent on the ground. It's not like the Giants have a strong running game anyway. So Manning has had success this year moving the ball through the air. The touchdowns have been lacking. I'm going to chalk last night up to facing a superior defense. So I think Eli will be fine this week.
All right. So you also had another quarterback go down. Trevor Siemian carted off on Sunday. Paxton Lynch comes in, and he's fine. Now, Gary Kubiak says he's day-to-day. Trevor Siemian, when he comes back, of course the job is his. I mean, Denver's rolling right now, so why wouldn't it be? But if Trevor Siemian doesn't start, guys, does this do anything to Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, Scotty?
I don't think I'm that worried about him because I think, you know, we said the same thing about Siemian.
Sure. Like,
who is he? And, you know, we downgraded Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. In this offense, the quarterbacks know to get the ball into the hands of the playmakers and let them do things after the catch. Keep it simple. So I'm not that worried. I think we know what the Denver offense is. And the beauty of it is that the defense is always putting them in position to make plays, always letting them control time of possession, putting them in advantageous field position, or playing from ahead, etc. So that helps a quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not worried at all because this target share, it's Sanders and Thomas. That's what you like about Denver is that they don't spread the ball around. It's pretty much those are the two guys, and we saw Paxton Lynch come in and perform well, 170 yards passing. And he threw a touchdown to Sanders. Both these guys are getting it done. I think there might have been some worry early on, but you were getting these guys as discounts. Thomas
Absolutely.
Was going in the third round of a lot of drafts, and Sanders went to 6th and 7th. I mean, Scott and I were drafting in the FNTSY Cup League, and we were like, why is Emmanuel Sanders still here?
Sure.
And we got him as a bench wide receiver. We played him last week, and we will play him again this week with Allen Robinson on bye. I think you're feeling good. I got Emmanuel Sanders in a few leagues as a bench player. Like, he just kept falling and falling, and this guy's good.
Yeah, absolutely. We said just a week ago, I traded Emmanuel Sanders, who's a bench wide receiver for me mostly, and Tevin Coleman for Gronk. I mean, Gronk, that's selling high. Scotty.
Question for you,
Greg. Yeah, absolutely.
What team has allowed the most touchdown passes in the NFL so far this season?
New Orleans.
No.
All right. Atlanta, no, they actually haven't allowed that much.
Atlanta, the Denver's opponent this week, has allowed 13. They have the worst pass defense in the NFC.
All right, so there you go.
Yeah.
You don't have no fear with Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas here this week. When we come back, it's back to your calls at 844-843-6879, 844-844-FNTSY, as well as talking about some of these veterans that I want to know if the Roto experts say it's time to move on. We'll do that coming up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Rocking and rolling this morning, Roto Experts in the Morning, found exclusively here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the exclusive home of the Roto Experts in the Morning. Unless you're reading the Daily News in New York, you can see it there. You're reading the Associated Press, you can see us there too.
Yeah, we're in the Daily News this morning. Bobby McMahon's column is there on page 45.
This is a massive column.
Yes, it's a full page. And you can also find us at nydailynews.com/sports every day, including my mine and Gary and Thorne's two-page spread in the Sunday News.
Let's
buy with your breakfast.
Let's get back to the phone lines, 844-843-6879. And let's talk to Jared from Texas. What's going on, Jared?
I'm pretty good. How about you guys?
We're doing tremendously. What's up, man?
Good deal. Hey, I got a trade question for you. I had a gentleman last night send me an offer for Julian Edelman, and he's going to give me C.J. Anderson. I've got Ezekiel Elliott, Mark Ingram. It's a 12-team PPR. Ingram obviously on a bye, and so I'm pretty weak at the running back position. Wide receivers, I've got Brandon Marshall, Emmanuel Sanders, Evan White, which I don't know anything about him right now, Dorsett, Enunwa, Floyd, Hogan. So I've got a lot of wide receivers, obviously, to back up Edelman. Is it worth it for that trade or not?
Do you guys have a flex spot in this league?
I do. I have two flex spots, actually. I have two wide receivers in both of the flex currently.
This is a no-brainer for me.
I'm going to say, is there anybody you can plug in for Ingram besides acquiring C.J. Anderson?
Smallwood, I think, is on the waivers, right. But there is not many. There's quite a few running backs that have already been picked up. I was going to do Sproles, but I was literally 1 hour late.
Right. My problem with this, though, is that you're giving up Edelman the week Brady comes back. And how many receivers do you start?
You can start up to four, two flex spots, yeah. And then two actual wide receivers.
I'm going to say no. I don't want. This is a PPR, right?
That is correct.
Yes, yeah, I don't want to trade Edelman, you know, the week that Brady comes back in a PPR. You're making a trade for 1 week. I like your running backs. If you make a trade for 1 week, maybe it'll swing a little bit of a lower-level deal, but I don't want to give up on Edelman the week Brady comes back.
I appreciate it, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
No, see, to me, hold on, Jared. Is he still there, Ian?
Okay.
All right. I want to do it. I'm doing it. I mean, you get C.J. Anderson, you're getting three top 10 running backs on your team. And clear top 10 running backs on your team. I don't care what positions they play. You have a wide receiver, and you have some guys to fill in here. You have a Enunwa. I know you have Chris Hogan with Brady coming back. To me, if you just put them in a vacuum, C.J. Anderson's a better player to me than Julian Edelman. I make this trade, Ronis.
Now, my problem with is I agree with Scott, and I feel like my initial thought was you're doing this for 1 week.
Yeah,
like
that's what I was thinking,
I like
too.
The running back. Again, I love C.J. Anderson. I think he's faced a couple of tough run defenses here, and the schedule eases up upcoming. He's got a nice schedule ahead, including two games against the Chargers. So I love C.J. Anderson, but Edelman with Brady back, I mean, that's just like money in a PPR. I mean, you're looking at 7 for 70 just about every week, and we know what Brady does with that short passing game, and Edelman is the guy he looks for. So I think you're fine at running back. I just feel like you're doing this for this week.
Yeah, I do.
That was my thought, too.
It can be a running back as well. It can be either wide receiver, running back, or tight end. So I could technically get CJ and keep him and play him every week with Ingram and Elliott as well. I forgot to mention that.
I get that, but I still think in a PPR, Edelman is going to be better on a week-to-week basis.
Me too,
because you're going to need touchdowns from CJ Anderson to duplicate what Edelman gives you on a weekly basis.
I understand.
Wow, so I outvoted 2-1. I guess you can't do the trade.
Yeah. Well, he can do it.
Oh, well, he can't
do it. You just take the information from us. And
I mean, if I have
Zeke,
I understand the extra flex plays, but in a PPR, I'd rather have receivers most of the time.
Right.
I know, obviously, each individual situation is different. But if I have Ingram and Elliott as my two running backs, I'm feeling really good.
Absolutely.
Now I'm getting Edelman when his best games are ahead.
Sure.
I think Cleveland this week.
Let me ask you guys this. Between we're talking about C.J. Anderson, we're talking about Ezekiel Elliott. Which one of those guys do you like better
Elliott.
Going forward? Elliott.
It's not even a question. Elliott's like when I do my in-season ranks later today on rotoexperts.com, part of your exclusive edge in-season fantasy football package and free radio at checkout for a special discount. Elliott's going to be in my top three. Anderson's getting volume, but just doesn't have that big playability of Elliott right now. Boy, you really like that bell. Did you like work in a diner when you were younger?
Well, when you use the bell
something?
Every time you have the self-promotion, we bell it, man.
Yeah,
that's how
I know
we work.
That bell's like you worked in a diner or a dental office or something.
Well, I'm just going to show every time you self-promote, I'm going to ring the bell.
Okay.
All right. That's how it's going to go. You said Elliott by far as well, Ronis.
Yeah. He's getting a heavy workload each and every single week. This offense is centered around him. I know the Cowboys have a couple injuries on the offensive line, but still, Elliott's getting 25 touches every single week. You know they're going to feed him the ball near the goal line. I know he's gotten vultured a couple times, but those were one situation where Alfred Morris, they wanted him to score against his former team. Another time, Elliott took himself out. He's not going to be losing touches consistently near the goal line to Morris and Dunbar. So, Elliott, I think you can make a case for him as the number two running back the rest of the way. Everyone, I would think, consensus number one would be Le'Veon Bell now that he's back, and I think you can make a case for Elliott being number two.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go Le'Veon Bell,
David Johnson.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah,
Chris S. has a question on Twitter for us,
fellas.
Let's
hear it.
My running backs, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Jamal Charles. D'Angelo Williams, Spencer Ware, Tevin Coleman. I need to drop one of them. Non-PPR, please help.
Okay, Ronis.
It's probably either Ware or Coleman. Oh, wait, he has Bell, right? So I think you want to hold D'Angelo just in case. Yeah. Yeah, it's either Ware or Coleman.
He's got Jamal Charles.
So it's got to be Coleman then.
He has to drop someone. He can't trade him to the Freeman owner. That's what I would try and do first. Yeah. I would try and trade him to the Freeman owner.
Yeah, that's a good idea, yeah. Well, there's got to be somebody else on your roster. I think when you have that much running back surplus, you should look for a trade. Go to look at the roster grid in your league.
League?
It sounds like it.
It has to be. This cannot be a 12. If it is, then there's some really stupid people in there.
Yeah, 10-team leagues make for tough lineup decisions.
They do.
Because you don't know which outstanding player to start.
Absolutely.
They make for tough roster decisions because you end up with something like this, and there's always somebody out on free agency you want, and you just can't fit.
Yeah, it really does make it very, very hard. Like, we always talk, and we're going to talk about the waiver wires coming up in about 10 minutes from now. And, hey, this guy's a great stash. Well, you might not have room to stash these guys. It makes it really hard with shorter benches. With shorter benches to pick and choose, it's not easy, man. It's really not. I wanted to talk, guys, about some potential veterans that just aren't performing all that well. And
I didn't promote anything. What are you doing?
My fingers slipped. Potential veterans that, and you know I have the itchy trigger finger, Scott. We talk about it all the time. But it's now week four. We are a quarter of the way through the season here. We are almost halfway to the playoffs. Not quite, but almost. Is it time to just drop certain players? And I want to start with Golden Tate. Detroit bench Golden Tate. Whatever they say they didn't or they did. They did at the start of the second half. I know they wanted to get him the ball more. They didn't. All I can judge is the reactions. Golden Tate has been awful. In a league where you're always trying to get players that are performing well, you're always trying to get involved, get sides that are doing something, Golden Tate's not doing anything. Can we drop Golden Tate, Scott?
Now, people always would say this to me on Twitter or in Roto Experts email advice, and I would say, it all depends on what you're cutting them for, especially with the bye weeks coming up now and four teams on a bye, and you got several receivers that you have to replace.
Yep.
I was strongly on record in the preseason saying I did not like Golden Tate. Everybody else was talking about him. First off, because they were expecting him to step up as a number one receiver. I didn't think he was built for it. Then they got all these other pieces, and they're spreading the ball around.
Right.
I'm not shocked by what I'm seeing with Golden Tate, that he's a bust. I didn't like him. I don't have him on any of my teams. That said, it all depends on your situation. If the guy's going to get four catches for 50 yards in a week when you got a bye, that's 9 points. So there's something of a floor there. To me, right now, you know, the guy's not performing like a fantasy starter. But, you know, if you're in a 12 or 14 team league, it all depends on what's out there on the waiver wire, what's your position on the waiver wire, how much fab are you going to spend. I'm on the fence with it. I don't think in a 14 team league you can cut him. In a 10 team league, he's not rosterable. In a 12 team league, it depends on the situation.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him here. I know he had the ankle injury earlier in the year, and I thought maybe that was a factor the first couple weeks, but it's perplexing as to what's going on because, you know, Scott, you argued that he's not a number one, but he's not being treated like a number one.
Well, that was before they acquired Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones is the number one.
Everybody
now
liked him because they expected him to step up
volume
and be the number one guy.
Well,
and get volume.
The last 2 years, Golden Tate has clearly been dependent on volume, and it looked like it was going to be there. This guy has 90 and 99 catches the last 2 years.
The yardage was garbage last
Right,
year.
I know that, but if you're getting volume, though, it should be. The problem is he's not getting volume. That's the biggest issue, and it's a little surprising. You know, they do have Eric Ebron, who's getting more targets now. He's been healthy. Anquan Boldin, not getting a lot, but enough that he's been a productive NFL receiver, not fantasy-wise, but there's something going on here.
I'm not shocked by this. I mean, this is a new offense without Calvin Johnson where Matthew Stafford wants to spread the ball around a lot. And really, nobody has to get a lot of volume. But B, he's obviously locked on to Marvin Jones. He's more the type of playmaker. We saw some good reception numbers from Golden Tate, but, you know, the yardage was down last year. It's like, for various reasons, I was just not on him.
Yeah, Marvin Jones is the only guy in this offense that can go downfield. Everything else, they throw close to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Bolden's not a vertical threat. Ebron's not. Tate's not.
See, defenses know that about Tate, though.
Yeah.
They know that if he gets to get the ball to Tate, He's a yardage after the catch guy. He learned that early in his career.
He was third in the NFL last year in yards after catch.
Yeah, he's a yardage after the catch guy, and I think teams have learned how to defend him, and they're not letting him get that yak.
Golden Tate, is there something else you want to say?
No, I think in some leagues, I think you could cut him.
Okay. Ultimately, you can cut him in some leagues. Scott, final answer?
Final answer, I said yes, you can cut him.
Okay. What about same division, same type of disappointment? Randall Cobb. I know you guys talked about him before. You have him in a league. I have him in a league. Randall Cobb has been incredibly disappointing this year. Ronis, we'll start with you. Is Randall Cobb droppable?
I don't think so. I think you want to invest in this offense. It should get better. You know, they had a
how long can we say that for?
Well, who are you cutting him for? I mean, we've seen Cobb produce. Again, it's only three games this year.
Can you cut him for Quincy Nunua?
No, I wouldn't.
Robert Woods?
No.
Chris Hogan?
No.
Okay.
So, I mean, look, I would be benching him in some situations right now. The Giants, they get the Giants this week. We're a little banged up.
Vulnerable,
we'll see
sure.
if they get a couple of their corners back. But, yeah, I don't feel great about Cobb, though. I will say that. They've been giving him some carries, trying to get him involved in the rushing game. But the touchdowns are not there right now.
Scott, can you drop Randall Cobb?
I don't think you can do it yet. I think you reserve him until you see him have a better game.
All right, let's continue on here with these veterans. Kobe Fleener is always a hot rod. I know tight ends are very unpredictable. what are you laughing
what?
At?
Hot rod.
All right, we're going to stay away from the dirty jokes on the show.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
That's who we are.
That's who you are. Not, I wouldn't say we.
Me.
So, okay. Me definitely. And Ronis.
So the two of you are the dirty...
Again, you're outvoted. Dirty jokes.
Dirty
hot
uncles.
Rod. Very
right.
funny.
Dirty uncles. Okay. Yeah. Kobe Fleener, he's always a hot rod for conversation, right? Tight ends are very unpredictable. Scott, can you drop Kobe Fleener?
I think you can.
Yes.
Because he's only had one good game so far. And we're seeing some depth at the tight end position and some other guys stepping up and being productive. You know, right now, I might actually be more confident plugging Hunter Henry or Cameron Brate into my lineup.
Ronis, can you drop Kobe Fleener?
He has a bye week, so if you don't want to roster tight ends, I could see it. But I think he's still going to have good games. I mean, Breeze continues to look for him. The targets are there, and the tight end is usually a big part of this offense. So it should only get better.
I think, as Scott mentioned, if you have someone like Cameron Brate, you probably can. I think it's just
a toss-up. You've probably cut all these guys already, knowing you.
Not just this week for the bye. Hey, that's 1 hour down. We got one more to go. We'll go to your waiver wire coming up next. Walking through a crowd, villages aglow. Kaleidoscopes of loud heartbeats under codes. Everybody here wanna